What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? I know it's been 2 weeks, but welcome back to the First Team All-Pro podcast. I believe it's 31 because I haven't done an episode in 2 weeks. I just want to double check, make sure I got that all straightened out. Make sure it's episode 31. I think it's 31. See, yeah, we are at episode 31, and this is going to be a big episode, especially considering the recent events that have been happening, cover the MLB free agency moves that have been taking place. So I'll talk a little bit about that, talk about the NHL a little bit, and I'll also talk about the weekly NFL rundown, just to really highlight the episode, maybe talk a little bit of NBA too. Specifically, I'll be talking about the Phoenix Suns. I believe it's now 17 straight wins, after starting the season 1-3 or 1-4. So I figured that's going to be a major topic to discuss. But let's start in the MLB. Let's start with the lockout. And, as many people are well aware, anyone that watches baseball or the MLB in general, the MLB is in a lockout right now, which means after the, which to people who don't know what that means after their collective bargaining agreement expires, players can not go into club facilities, no trades can be made, no more free agent signings, that hurts for a couple of clubs, especially. That hurts for a couple of reasons, especially the teams, especially, you know, being a Yankees fan, I was kind of expecting Cashman to make a couple of moves, and as per usual, it didn't happen, but that's besides the point. That means we're looking at no baseball, at least for a while. Who knows what's going to happen with the new COVID variant as well going around, Omicron, I believe it's what it's named. Who knows what happens? Who knows what happens to the season in general? I have hopes that the season doesn't get delayed or doesn't get canceled, but I don't know. I honestly don't know what to. I don't know what to expect with Manfred running the show. I really don't. And it's just looking more like the longer this happens, I think the odds of season getting delayed increase steadily. And you know what? It really is not fun when there's no baseball. Let's be honest. And the lockout, it's not helping the cause either. A lot of players are not happy about it. I'm sure a lot of owners aren't happy about it, even though they all unanimously voted to agree on the lockout. So I don't know. At least the owners did. But you know, it's funny because there are a lot of ways different players are handling this. It's actually funny because I've been looking at it. Some players have been, because actually what I remember, I think on the MLB website, I think they removed like all the players. They removed like all the players, their names, I think their pictures. That's just one thing I caught during this lockout so far. And a lot of people, like if you've been paying attention on Twitter lately, you can tell, like, Twitter, Instagram, you can tell the players are trying to have a little bit of fun while this lockout's going on. They are removing their, like, profile, like, removing their typical profile pictures and filled in, like, with the, you know how in, like, a video game, like, you would, if you had to unlock a character, like, it would just show up, like, gray? Like, you don't know who it was? Like, that's basically what it was. That's basically what those pictures are now, because again, MLB like took everyone's information off their website, like all their players' information. So I have a feeling this is just the start. Players, are clearly trying to make light of the situation. Go on like Instagram, like go on, like I said, you could probably find it on, actually, if you just look up a couple players on like Twitter, like if you look up like Jamison Tyone's like Twitter, like he, like I'm pretty sure he typed a whole thing about it. And he changed his profile picture as well. He typed a whole thing about the physical therapists, with the MLB, the team physical therapists. So yeah, he's one example of that. Go look at Tyler Matzek, from the Braves. You should definitely look it up. It's all funny stuff. Like you can all find it on Twitter. And it's not just, like I said, it's more than just one player doing it. So they're trying to have some fun, but yeah, no baseball, not fun. Again, I really don't know how long this lockout's going to last, but I will say before the lockout even happened, there were a lot of trades and free agent moves being made, which is exactly what I want to get into. Now that I've been talking about the lockout for a little bit, let's see. Most recently, let's see. Javi Baez. I remember the Mets acquired him from the Cubs. I think it was last year. Now he's on his way to Detroit. They shipped him to Detroit. Max Scherzer also going to the Mets. Did not see that coming. And from what I've been seeing from the Mets, like, because they made a couple of other moves, and it's looking like they're loading up. They're trying to improve their bullpen and trying to improve their lineup. Because let's face it, the only bats that were really doing anything in that lineup was probably Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso. Just going to be honest with you, and let's face it, Pete Alonso's the best bat in that lineup. But anyway, yeah, Max Scherzer is on his way to the Mets. Baez, ironically, is out. On his way out of New York, and he's heading to Detroit. Marcus Stroman is going to Chicago. Kevin Gausman is going to Toronto, and that brings up the next big thing. Toronto, like, they still got a star-studded lineup, but they lost two key pieces from last season. One of them being Marcus Semien, who is playing in Texas now, which I will get into all the Rangers, I'll get into the Texas Rangers moves in the meantime. I'll get to that later. And then they lost their Cy Young, AL Cy Young award winner. And they lost him to Seattle. So that being said, and free agency, if anyone's been paying attention to it, it has been absolutely chaotic. And Seattle's making moves. Getting Robbie Ray was just the start. I think they're making some other moves. I think they have some other moves in the works. Obviously, they can't do any, like, no team can do anything right now because, again, lockout. But I think they still got some things in the works. Getting Robbie Ray was a start. And honestly, that was a move that I think I actually like that move because, you know, I think anyone who watched the wild card race wanted to see the Mariners get into the playoffs last year. I think the fair majority of people who watched the American League wild card race wanted to see that happen. They wanted to see the Mariners get in because, again, they have the longest playoff drought of any team in the league. But yeah. So, if you're Toronto, I mean, yeah, they got Kevin Gausman, but where do you go from there? Like, you arguably probably lost your best pitcher. Like, where do you go from there? What moves do you need to make sure that doesn't come back to bite you? Obviously, Kevin Gausman's a good pitcher. Like, he's a great addition to the team, but is he going to be the the fill-in option for Robbie Ray for the long-term future. Who knows? And if I'm not mistaken, he went to Toronto on a 5-year deal, I want to say. I think it was 5 years. And then Marcus Semien, like, going to Texas, like, Toronto, what are you doing? Like, I know you still got Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette and Biggio, but that's a big... Marcus Semien had an unreal year last season. He was one of the big bats in the lineup alongside those guys. He helped make that Blue Jays lineup a threat, a major threat. And let's be honest, they still are. They're still going to be a major threat for years to come. They're still going to be a major threat in the American League East for years to come. So, but having Semien in that lineup was, they were almost unstoppable at times. Like, if I'm not mistaken, they went on like a massive winning streak. I thought they did at some point in the season, but that's a big name to lose. If you're Toronto, what else? That reminds me. Let's keep going to the. Let's talk about the Mets for a minute again. Some more. Starling Marte went from Oakland to the Mets, and that reminds me. Oakland, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? They're just selling off every key piece. Like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, fans, but, like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news to Oakland A's fans, but it's really looking like you're going to be in a rebuild for a little bit. Like, the way the A's are just selling off players left and right. Yeah. I have a real bad feeling that it's not going to be a fun time for A's fans. What's even worse is that they have to see former Athletic Marcus Semien. Let's see. Let me check what the AL West division. Let's see. Are the Rangers? The Rangers are in the AL West. So they're going to have to see him. The A's are going to have to see their former player, Marcus Semien, way more now. Let's be honest, that's not going to sit well with Oakland A's fans. Like, not in the slightest. What else? Noah Syndergaard? From the Mets. He's on his way out of New York. He went to the Angels. Adam Frazier got traded to Seattle. So, again, Seattle making big moves, like I said. What other trades are being made? Let's see. Chris Taylor is heading back to the Dodgers, which, that reminds me, the Dodgers are losing a lot of key pieces. They already lost Scherzer, which was a big arm in that bullpen. They lost Scherzer. Corey Seager, of course, who went to Texas. Dodgers fans, I'd ask how you're feeling, but let's be honest. You probably still feel like you can win your division, but I don't know about that. I mean, let's just... check that out. I want to see who the Dodgers free agents are. I'm really curious. Oh yeah, they had a lot of free agents coming in. They had a lot of free agents this year. Seager was one of them who went to Texas. Max Scherzer, who's now on the Mets. They signed Andrew Heaney, which is the funniest thing to me, because I've heard that, like, Kenley Jansen wasn't exactly the best, like, in terms of relief pitching for the Dodgers, but if you think Andrew Heaney's a better option, I hate to break it to you, Dodger fans, he's not. Like, anyone who watched the Yankees last year, anyone who watched him pitched with the exception of that one good game he had against the Red Sox, like, he was not good. He was not good whatsoever. So, just a fair warning, Dodger fans, of what you're getting into. But what else? And then, of course, Clayton Kershaw's a free agent. Joe Kelly's a free agent. They have a lot of free agents. But I'm going to be honest. If you don't bring Clayton Kershaw back, that's a yikes. That is a big yikes. But let's be honest, again, with the lockout going on, nothing's going to happen. So, at least not yet until MLB actually gets their stuff together. Which, it's probably going to take a long time for that, but anyway, as I was saying, but yeah, Jake DeGrom and Max Scherzer are on the same team. Now, don't get me wrong, we all know how good Jacob DeGrom is. We all know how good. It's pretty obvious. Like, you do not need to have a high or an extremely high IQ or be an expert on certain sports things to know how good Jake DeGrom is. You don't. Like, it's pretty obvious. But adding Max Scherzer into the mix is not bad, but at the same time, like, that contract, what is it, 3 years, I think? Oh man, my hand's falling asleep. Let's see. If I'm not mistaken, it's 3 years and $130 million. Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm sorry, there's no way. There's no way that guy should be getting paid that much. Oh, let's see. I'm trying to see. Yeah, 3 year, $130 million contract. Like, what is that? Like, don't get me wrong. 3 years? All right. Decent term, considering he's basically at the end of his career. But $130 million deal. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, handing out that much money? Like, I don't know if they realized, but if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this. If I'm not mistaken, Pete Alonso's contract, Pete Alonso is going to be demanding a big payday, if I'm not mistaken. I'm curious to see where he is in his contract. I don't think I can find it. I don't know if he... Oh no, he might have already signed a ridiculous contract. Let me check. Damn, where is it? Trying to find it. I honestly can't find the contract. Like, it doesn't say it. I'm on Bleacher Report right now trying to find it. Like, what is this? Hold on. Let's go to Spot Track. Yeah. Either way, I don't know what is. I don't think he got a new contract yet. But when Pete Alonso does, he's going to be asking for a bag. I am telling you right now, like, say what, like, that. That's the guy the Mets really need to keep around, like, him and DeGrom, like, because, and I don't know, again, I don't know how much money the Mets have. Obviously a lot. Obviously, I mean, it's an MLB organization. It's the New York Mets. Like, obviously they have a good amount of money. But in terms of, like, signing players, after signing Scherzer, I don't really know. Like, again, I don't mind the term length. Like, 3 years, okay, not bad. He's basically at the end of his career. But $130 million, I like I said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this deal can only age poorly. But I'm not going to go too much into detail about it anymore. That basically settles that. I mean, I talked about the lockout. What else? I forgot. Eduardo Escobar also going to the Mets. What else? Oh, Jackie Bradley Jr. is going back to Boston. However, if I'm not in a trade with Milwaukee traded Jackie Bradley Jr. back to Boston, but they also sent like two, if I'm not mistaken, two top 30 prospects. So if you're really thinking about this from a long-term perspective, this can really benefit the Red Sox. If you're a Red Sox fan, it sucks to see Hunter Renfroe go. Like, you could probably sleep at night knowing you got two top 30 prospects, like in your back pocket. Like, let's be honest. Like, say what you are. Like, I know, if I'm not mistaken, like, when JBJ was originally on the Red Sox, he always torched my team. Like, he always torched my team, especially in 2018 when they played the Yankees. He would always torch the Yankees. It was awful to go up against them. But every time he was batting and all that. But he struggled in Milwaukee, and his stats prove it. And I'm going to be honest, though, the Red Sox honestly could have dealt someone else away instead of Renfro. Because let's face it, you don't need to be a Red Sox fan to know this. Hunter Renfro was one of their best bats in the lineup. He was one of their best bats in the lineup. He was one of their best bats all season. Of course, complimenting JD Martinez and Xander Bogaerts and Rafi Devers. But that's going to be a presence that's missed in that lineup. That's going to be a presence that's missed in that lineup for the Red Sox. And what else? Oh, the Red Sox weren't the only one. They weren't done. That wasn't the only deal they made. If I'm not mistaken, they signed former Mariner and former Yankee, the big Maple, James Paxton. I believe that's what his nickname. That's what his nickname is. The big Maple. Let's see. I believe that's what. Yeah, the big Maple. That's his nickname, James Paxton. If you guys watched him, if you watched him in New York like I did, he was a little bit inconsistent at time. He definitely had some injuries, but when he was on fire, he was on fire. Like, he was good. Like, when he was healthy and good to go, wheeling and dealing, he was one of the best pitchers in the Yankees bullpen. And this, of course, was before Gerrit Cole came around. And the same could be said for the Mariners. When he was on the Mariners, he was one of the better pitchers there. Like, when he's healthy, he has unlimited potential. So I honestly think, it's a low risk, potentially high reward for the Red Sox. If they're getting the really healthy version of Paxton with unlimited upside and potential, it'll help them in the long run. But if they're getting the guy that's a little bit too inconsistent, that might be a problem. And who else? I mean, the Red Sox added another guy to the bullpen, if I'm not mistaken. Rich Hill. They added Rich Hill to the bullpen, if I'm not mistaken. So, A lot of big things were happening in MLB just before the lockout. So, yeah, a lot of the moves, but, you know, as a Yankees fan, didn't see any moves being made from Cashman. I see rival teams like the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Rays, which, by the way, the Rays signed former Yankee Corey Kluber, who performed really well for the Yankees. So, yeah, rival teams making moves. The Yankees are just torturing me. They're just not doing anything. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it doesn't matter right now because, again, there's a lockout going on. But when the season starts, like, oh, boy. But anyway, let's hop on over to the NFL for a second. I'm going to talk about probably the biggest story, aside from Aaron Rodgers, of course, his controversy with the vaccine and all that, not being vaccinated. And I don't like talking about this stuff because I try to keep it under wraps. But Antonio Brown, if I'm not mistaken, suspended 3 games for forging a vaccination card. Like, dude, at that point, he should have just pulled an Aaron Rodgers. Said he was, like, immunized or something. Because, like, and the thing is, that's a 3-game suspension with no pay. That's, like, a literal slap on the wrist, if we're all being honest here. That's a slap on the wrist. Not even a slap on wrist. That's, like, a light breeze on the wrist. Like, you know how much money that guy's making? Like, especially after the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. Like, do you not realize that? And let's be honest, Antonio Brown has been at the... this isn't the first time, like, big news has been coming up with Antonio Brown in the past. But, you know what? I almost try to ignore some of the, like, drama in regards to, like, these certain situations, in whether it's over the, you know, the vaccine and all that. I almost try to, like, just avoid it, but it's like, you know, with Aaron Rodgers doing it, like, making headlines over it, and now Antonio Brown, you know, all these other players and coaches, like, it's hard to ignore. It's hard to ignore this stuff, but, and, again, three game suspension, no pay. That's literally nothing to Antonio Brown. But like I said, I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. I had to burp right there. My mistake, ladies and gentlemen. NFL, if I'm not mistaken, we are heading into week. I think it's 11 or 12. I think we're in maybe week 13. I don't know. Let me check. I think we're in week 13. Well, I want to check. Yeah, we're in week 13. There's only 5 more weeks to go of the season, and then it's playoffs. Like, this is ridiculous. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch the rest of the way. Honestly, with that being said, I really don't have much more to talk about. I mean, I know everyone expects me to talk about hockey, but this is just going to be a rapid fire episode. I just wanted to talk about the lockout and talk about the news out of the NFL. NBA, I don't know what headlines to really talk about there right now, but I'm sure I'm going to have a rapid-fire episode out again. Probably out in a couple days, who knows. But for now, yeah, it's been your host, LT Nasty. And catch you guys in episode 32. Peace.